my friend of many decades, Bob. Boy, that just sounds bad, doesn't it, Bob?
It does, but I'm okay with it.
Okay. Well, it's true.
Yeah, that's very true, buddy.
Bob Fonbell and I met when he was, I think you were running security at the American Tap.
I was, a long, long time ago.
Many years ago. Bob also is quite the enthusiast when it comes to turkeys, Great Boars of Fire. Of course, maybe you've seen his food trailer and some of his other efforts when it comes to food with him and the Fonbell family, his dad, Dave. And, you know, a couple of years back, it was interesting. I picked up a turkey from Bob, and I said, what about heating this thing up, man? And he says, look, here's the deal. Put it low, but turn it on its breast so it stays moist. There's a lot of tricks like this.
Well, sure there are. I mean, when you reheat stuff, you want to, and I refer to it all the time, my old football coach did, the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. You know, I mean, because if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And I agree with low and slow is the only way to go.
Define low. What temperature's low and slow?
Okay, now I do a lot of my cooking on Southern Pride's outdoor cookers. So I'm 250 or under, Tom. All but right. Now cooking in it at home in the oven, you know, 350, you know.
All right. 350 or under. Now, here's the thing. Right. Everybody's around. Maybe this is your first time. You know, it used to that everybody kind of complained it's dry. We've actually come to the point now where everybody's like a chef now. And everybody's experimenting and doing new things. This year, for instance, we're brining a turkey. Bought a kit for brining the turkey, trying to keep it moist and write more flavor. There's just a lot of focus. How many different ways, good, easy ways are there out there besides just rubbing a stick of butter on the breast and shoving it in the oven?
Well, I tell you what I started doing is I started getting like lemons, I do apples, onions, and then I'll get, you know, because I like to have the stuff you have around the house, which usually rosemary don't have, thyme and sage, and stuff your cavity with that with your seasoning. And then a lot of people don't do this, but I think it's really important. Because like you said, everybody's a chef now. Everybody's got their own rub or their own seasoning or their own techniques. So I'm just going to go with the easy method. But separate that skin from the meat, you know, with your hand. And when you're doing your butter or whatever mixture you want, and usually I just go with, you know, unsalted butter. I do a teaspoon of salt, or actually I put my rub on it. Everybody has their own seasoning. You know, black pepper and cloves, and then stuff that butter and slather it between the skin and the meat. And then, you know, because you want that butter at room temperature, you know, with all the stuff in it, and then slather the skin as well.
All right, here's another thing. You and I have got a mutual friend who you do not see him anywhere cooking, and he doesn't have a thermometer sticking out of his pocket. Is that something that everybody ought to have when it comes to, one, not poisoning everybody at the table? But this is really, it's like the hammer of cooking now, is the thermometer.
I think you need a thermometer. You know, I mean, being in the commercial food business, I go by those temperatures very seriously. And it's a foolproof method. Those little digital thermometers are cheap. You know, it's easy to test. I like to pull those turkeys out at about 162 to 165, even if you pulled out 160, you let that dude rest for 20, 30 minutes, and it's going to get up to 165. And 165 is where you need to be, you know, to keep that turkey, make sure it's all the way cooked, but make sure it's just juicy and moist and ready to go.
All right, where do you place the thermometer?
What you do in a couple places, you place it in the thickest part of the breast, and I run parallel with the turkey. And then you put it in the thigh, believe it or not, and the thickest part of the thigh, and run parallel, you know, down the leg.
You know, once upon a time, Bob and I were cooking in the Irish stew cook-off. I think we came in second.
Yeah, we did.
Behind Kennedy, so we knew that was going to happen.
We knew that was going to happen. He cooked some killer Irish stew.
But Bob gave me kind of this lecture on, you know, that cooking has now become show business in many ways. And I think when you look at that, not from necessarily the barbecue competition, but when somebody comes out with the Thanksgiving and puts it on the table and there's an showbiz factor by appearance. And a lot of people shoot for that, looking for the appearance. I mean, some of that I know is the butter, but when it comes to making the turkey look appealing too, I was wondering because, you know, we talk about pulling that skin up and shoving your hand between the skin and the breast meat to put the marinade in.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the secret? My mom used to take the aluminum foil and put it around the end of the feet so that they didn't crisp, so they looked good. I mean, there's
Yeah, your mom was, my mom did the same thing. And you I would recommend that if you want it to be gorgeous. Also, tuck those wings underneath the breast. You know, you see people tucking them, and the reason they tuck those wings is so the ends don't burn and crisp up and burn up.
What about tinting the breast to keep the appearance in the late stages of cooking?
What I do, good one, what I do is when I'm cooking it, if it's getting a little darker, a little faster, I go ahead and tint the breast, and then that will cut the darkening down on it. You can wrap it, and then, you know, pull it off when you're getting close, and if you want to darken it back up in a hurry, you know, if it's getting light again, which sometimes happens because, you know, that moisture will pop up. Now, you can take a little spray of soy sauce.
Oh.
You know, and one of those little hand sprayers. Spray that dude. It will crisp it right up and get it golden brown.
All right. So a lot of people have this problem, and it's going to happen. Somebody's going to reach into their turkey tomorrow morning, and it's not going to be thawed yet. It takes approximately 4 days for a 16-pound turkey to thaw out. I asked Kate, why do we have such a large turkey? You know, and Kate will strangle every dollar for every cent. she says, because the big one was only 33 cents a pound. All right, so there's probably a few people out there when it comes to this. So when it comes to the thawing out, and you wake up tomorrow morning and take that plastic cover and netting off the turkey, and it's covered in ice crystals, in particular the body cavity, what's your guidance to get that thing thawed, because it needs to be done before it goes in the oven?
Oh, it does. On that one, Tom, there's no really super good safe way other than, you know, get you a big bag, running water. You know, I mean, that's all you can do, because, you know, you figure a turkey, you figure 24 hours for every 5 pound of turkey you got.
Oh, there's a rule of thumb.
You know, and then I give myself an extra day. 'Cause I've had that happen. Hey, do you got the neck and giblets or the male parts?
Where are they at?
Talk about
embarrassing.
Still frozen in there harder than, you know,
right.
Harder than the rock, you know.
And I've actually cooked a turkey and pulled the back and going, I didn't take it out, and everybody's standing around. There's a steaming bag of, you know, internal organs there. So that's always true.
Tom, I think we've all done that, and there goes your presentation.
Yeah, there goes your presentation. All right, here's the other thing. And this is something that's been, who was that? That old Cajun cook, Wilson, was it?
Was that the little wild cooking sheriff for the cook?
Yes, the onion, and he made deep frying turkeys a thing. And now you want to have an unthawed turkey in deep frying. You basically got a steam oil volcano. This is one of the things when it comes to thawing and non-traditional cooking.
Exactly. Well, what you got there, Tom, is when you're doing that, you're wanting to. I like injecting my turkeys. You know, I mean. And I make a simple marinade or a simple injection, which is easy. And you don't have to inject it because you can have a killer turkey without it. I just get real bored and I like to play, and you get tools for Christmas.
And so I like the moist. I like moist white meat if I can get it, right?
And frying a turkey is a way to do it, you know. I mean, you're looking about 3.5 minutes a pound. You know, you want to put that turkey, because they've got racks for them or baskets, and you've got a hook, and there's a reason to have a big long hook, because you lower that turkey in there 2 or 3 inches at a time, because like you said, it's a big moist volcano. You drop that sucker in, and it's a good way to get burned and pull your oil everywhere and everything else. So you go in a couple, it'll go back up, and you just ease it till you finally get that dude submerged.
Yeah.
And you get your grease up to about 375. When it gets up to 375, you turn it off, put your turkey in, submerge it, and then keep it around 350 after that.
Right. Here's the other appealing part of this. You don't have hours. Once you get ready, this is done in short order. I think there's a lot of appeal to that because it frees up your time to make other stuff.
Well, sure, and it keeps Tom Miller and Bob Fombell out of the kitchen, makes the wives happy,
right.
And it frees up a whole bunch of oven space, and we can throw bags outside or do whatever we want, throw rocks at the dog.
Somebody says that was the person we were talking about was Justin Wilson. That was, I remember now,
Justin,
the guy's name.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with injecting that I've run into with Bob is I forget what I'm doing, and I end up making a marinade that plugs up the injector needle.
Injector. Well, that's why I don't. I mean, I might mix a Cajun seasoning, or actually you can get your marinade up to a kind of a simmer. And that way, you know, I do one with it's half a cup of apple cider vinegar, half a cup of honey, a cup of beer. They, you know, some people prefer a darker ale for more flavor.
Right.
I prefer Natural Light. Tablespoon of Cajun seasoning, or whoever your seasoning, Tom Miller's seasoning, or, you know, our rub, or, you know, whatever your favorite is. And then get that dude to a simmer, and that way it kind of thins everything out so you can inject it when it's still warm, you know. And I'd hit that dude little bitty spots, you know, 30 to 40 places. And then, you know, wipe all the excess if it oozes out a little bit, you know, pat dry, season your guy up, season the cavity, and like you said, put her in slow and cook it up.
Well, now I know why my flavoring never tastes as good as yours, because I do like three or four places because I'm afraid I'm going to mess it up. And the appearance, I didn't realize you should inject it that frequently and all around it.
Yep.
So that's
a good little
note.
Bitty spots all around, and then kind of work it in so you can kind of spread it around. But, yeah.
Hey, Bob, you mind if I change subjects with you just a minute? I want to ask you about something else.
Sure.
You're in the catering business. We've heard a lot about restaurant businesses. We've heard a lot about bars. But when you start looking at, say, well, Thanksgiving is a good example. Maybe somebody, more people, well, we're going to have everybody over, and we're going to get three or four turkeys. Somebody else cooked them, or, you know, a wedding or a holiday celebration or a Christmas company Christmas party. How has the current mitigation efforts affected your business when it comes to catering?
Well, it's pretty much no. We've cooked about 200 turkeys for people to pick up and drop off. Other than that, all of our Christmas party or Thanksgiving parties were canceled, you know, like company parties and this, and most of our Christmas parties have been canceled with, you know, Procter & Gamble and Nordina and the bigger companies, and, you know, most of your chamber dinners have canceled.
Right.
The ones in Cape and Jackson that are canceled on us.
Yeah,
it's been pretty horrific, Tom. I'll be honest.
Well, I was curious about that. People think about the restaurants and the brick and mortar, but when it comes to getting people together in large groups, that's the business you're in.
That's the business I'm in. It's affecting everybody real hard.
Right, Bob Thumbell, my friend of many decades, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your wife.
You too, my friend.
And your dad, Dave.
I'll do it. I'll tell him.
And your sister, too, who I married.
She still thinks of you very highly, and I don't know why.